This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some chili water. We talk about Hopwell, Tribes, and then we get into the paid-to-play controversy that's happening in Boston. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad, I'm Nick White.
And we're back again to report our drinking travels.
Back again.
Oh, I blanked on the song. That's what happens when you're drinking. So first off, before we talk about the beer we are drinking, we reached in the cellar again.
Yeah.
It's going to be a common theme. I'm trying to get some of these stouts out of here. You know, winter is coming to an end. So I was like, oh, what do I got back here? I pulled out the Expedition Stout from Bell's up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yeah. So not too far away. Yeah. And this is pre-batch 9000, because it says on the back here, batch number 8864. Yeah. So that's what, early 2012, late 2011. That's a long time. Five-year-old beer here. It was tasting all right still.
I was surprised. Yeah. I was surprised at how well it held up. No carbonation in it.
No, but little bit of cellar note, but not too bad. Then also we're drinking from Tighthead Brewing, the Chili Water Pale Ale. So we poured this out. It was a milkshake. Look at that. Oh.
Yeah, you got a gusher on your hands.
Yeah. If you're watching the video, you might have saw my glass just was all foam here.
Yeah, it's got a massive off-white head. Got that pale golden color.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been up to Tighthead?
I have not. Up in Mundelein, right?
Mundelein,
no,
yeah.
Never been.
The one time I've been, we biked.
Yeah? Oh, wow.
It was like 90-plus miles round trip. Round trip, yeah. That was a lot of biking for beer.
Were there thoughts about just hopping the train? So I'm tapping out.
We all would have done it. It does not run on the weekends, that train.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I'm used to like the line that goes out to Naperville, like the Burlington whatever line.
BNSF.
Yeah, and that one runs all the time. But this line was like, nope, we don't run on the weekends. So we had no choice. We had to drink our beer and bike home.
Power through.
I think someone had their wife pick them up.
See?
Or their wife picked them up.
That would have been
I can't do
get up here. These guys are nuts.
But you're making it through the head here. How's it tasting?
I'm enjoying it. Moderate hot flavor.
Okay.
Light and fun. I dig it.
Mm-hmm. It has a pale ale, so nothing crazy here. You usually see these guys at a lot of the Brewfest events here around town, so pretty good. I know Billy, he's kind of the head brewer or owner there?
Yeah, something like that.
He used to have a homebrew shop that Ken used to hit up all the time when he lived back in Gurnee, so that's how he kind of knows Billy and how I first met him. He's a really nice guy that loves fish.
Yeah, like the band.
Yeah,
that's funny because
not fishing, but loves fish.
Like he loves Orange Ruffy. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, it's and then Bruce, who's the other guy. I know him from events around town, obviously, but then he's a big Deadhead. I ran into him at the Grateful Dead show. We talked about it on an episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe Billy likes Grateful Dead.
They're both
fish,
jam bands.
The same thing, right?
It's the same scene, kind of.
Someone's going to be like, they're not the same. I like Grateful Dead. I hate fish.
You're wrong. Your show's the worst.
I feel like you're going for the same thing. The drugs. Right?
Me, what about the music?
And the tie-dye. You love tie-dye. The drugs and tie-dye.
They were saying that a lot of brewers are deadheads because, like, Grateful Dead shows is where their first exposure to craft beer. A lot of these breweries are saying that.
I could see that, yeah. did you even get any beer in
that
pour?
No, I didn't get any beer in the second pour.
Foam is beer, yeah. Right? You just have to wait it out.
Yeah. And it was pretty cold, too.
Yeah. Yeah, not sure.
I do like it. They say Citra and Amarillo hops are in here. This is a 4.8%. So it's soft. It's drinkable. It's very approachable. You know, uh-huh. I like it. It looks like there's a really bizarre dead fish chasing a hop on a vine under some kind of water.
Yeah, it's one of those fish, like you've seen Finding Nemo. There's like you see the fish with the light bulb kind of on their head. And, yeah. It's kind of cool. So we'll sip on this, kind of work through the head here as we talk about the past week and what we got going on right here. On. So I think I slacked off this week. I didn't make it to much. I don't even know what I did this week. I remember recording,
I don't even know who I am.
Releasing this episode, and drinking some more of that Berghoff, or not Berghoff, the Beta Brow.
Oh, this Naked Selfie.
Yeah, I had a couple more of those over the last week. I'm just making my way through that six pack. So I didn't do anything. We talk about all these fun events, and I didn't make it to anything. Yeah. Did you check anything out?
I hit up a couple. I hit up a few breweries, man. I wanted to check out Half Acre just to see the burrito scene. You know, they're burrito guys now. What?
That sounds ridiculous. Like I went to check out the burrito scene. I didn't even know there's a burrito scene you can check out.
They were just a tap room. Now they're a tap room. And now the sign says, don't bring your own food because we got food now. And it's like all burritos, you know. It's like, you know, like a chicken noodle soup burrito and all these different kind of burritos.
A chicken noodle soup? Yeah. A soupy burrito?
Chicken noodle burrito. All right.
I was like,
not chicken noodle
soup. I don't think you can put soup in a burrito.
It ceased being a burrito at that point.
It's the juiciest burrito ever.
Yeah. So I went up there. We just picked up a couple growlers and went over to Big and Little. But I did stop in. It looks like they literally took like a piece of the brewery and sectioned it off and turned it into a little kitchen.
Right. Like behind where the bathrooms were?
Yeah, like directly across from the bathrooms. The old entrance, it used to be the entrance to the brewery. Now it's just a door, same doorway, but it's a section off for the kitchen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
So they're doing that.
Where the garage door was?
Exactly.
Okay. I'll have to make it over there and check that out. I can't even picture how that works. So it's the kitchen is now in between the brew pub and the bottle shop?
Correct, but further to the back.
Oh, further to the back. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we went up there for that. Then I made my way over there to Ale Syndicate. Ale Syndicate had their release party for the Barrel-Aged Triple Richie Porter.
Can you even go in there?
I mean, they're not typically open to the public, but when I got there, I was talking to Byron. He said they do this like quarterly, he said. The last one was for the Paulina, the Chicago Wit that we had on the show at one point. Yeah, so apparently they do these launch parties. They do them right at the brewery because they don't have a space. It's just like a raw brewing space. Like they don't have like a tap room or anything. Oh, right. But they're building a tap room, which is one of the announcements that they made.
Oh, yeah, really?
Which is pretty cool.
Where at?
They're going to section off a part of their brewery and just turn it into a tap room.
So originally I thought they were in the Green Exchange building.
Right, but I think they're like directly next to it. Like they share a parking lot with.
Because I drove over there one day, I was like, oh, I should see, like, can I go in here? Can I get like a growler? Yeah. And I'm like looking at the directory of the Green Exchange. Yeah. I was like, they're not on here.
No,
and
I thought the exact same thing. I thought, oh, they're occupying this shared space. That sounds really cool. Yeah, but it's not exactly that. But it is an old, an old decommissioned train stop. He said at one point. Yeah.
For the metro.
Yeah, it was a stop called Maplewood. Yeah. Okay. So apparently Maplewood got annexed, and then it's like no longer a thing. But at one point, Maplewood was like one of those towns that, like, right after the Great Chicago Fire, people migrated north because Great Chicago Fire ran all the way to Fullerton, right? And then, like, just north of Fullerton, there were these different laws where you had to have so many brick homes and that kind of thing. And this was one of those big, those one of the towns that got built right after that. So it used to be a train that go take you from Maplewood straight downtown. So they occupy that space.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And then he said, what else did they say? Because, you know, they've got other tenants in there, I believe. Arcade is there. And then there's another brewery in there, Around the Bend. Apparently Arcade is leaving.
Okay.
And they're going to Blue Nose, which is out in the southwest burbs, kind of like around Five Rabbit.
How come?
They didn't really get into specifics. I guess they just didn't have, I don't know, maybe maybe El Syndicate's at a point where they just need that space for their own beer. That would be my guess. Because, you know, El Syndicate, they got a contract with Harry Carey's to brew a beer. They're on Lakeshore. They have a lot of accounts compared to the other folks in their building.
Yeah, but I kind of like the idea of this co-working brewery space, and it seemed like kind of a neat idea and almost like a way to give back, even though they were just starting too. So getting rid of that kind of, I don't know.
And, you know, they're just downsizing it because, you know, around the bend will still be there, you know. So those are the two big announcements. The beer is great. They had it on draft. They did 1,300 cups of like three or four other different beers. The barrel aged Richie. It's one of those projects where the beer sits in three different types of barrels. Like one's a rum, one's a whiskey, and one's like maybe a cognac or something like that. They got them in wax bottles, so you couldn't buy any there. Well, I wanted to buy one, so I was kind of bummed out about that. But you did get to try it. It was tasty. It was super tasty. So
nice. Okay.
Yeah, that was a good time. So I went there.
Haleson. Okay.
Yeah, nice. Right in Logan.
Do we know? Did they say when their tap room might be open?
No, I cut out because there was only one bathroom, and I was like, "Yo, this line is ridiculous. I'm gonna peace out."
Yeah. Okay.
And then I ended up going to another brewery, and right in Logan Square.
What? You did three breweries?
Yeah, I was rolling, man. I don't know what it was, man. Oh, so nice. Like
making me look like real bad.
You know, I was counting, right? So, like, if you count Pipeworks, New Space, and Off Color, right?
Which is kind of Logan Square.
Logan Square-ish, right?
Yeah, I think they're Hermosa.
I think it's Logan Square / Hermosa. It might just flat out be Hermosa.
Yeah.
If you count those, plus Rev, plus El Syndicate, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking, plus this place, Hopewell.
Oh, okay, so that's where you went
to? Yeah, I went to Hopewell. You're talking five breweries in Logan Square.
Man, Logan Square, what happened?
Yeah.
So Hopewell is the newest brewery owned by the Bangers and, not Bangers and Lakes, Owen and Enchant guys, right?
No.
Oh, that's a different brewery.
Totally different project.
I know what you're Logan Square, too?
I know what you're talking about. I haven't heard anything about that yet, but it is supposed to be in Logan. Yeah. Oh, this place is apparently a former Brooklyn Brewery brewer who's from Chicago. Who went to the University of Chicago or actually USC, mm-hmm. and then he had some buddies, and they all started just playing, and they wanted to do a brewery called Hopewell.
Okay.
Yeah, so it occupies this old space. The Shoe Source is what it was, just like a little discount shoe store.
Oh,
and
cool.
They completely gutted this place, man. So they have massive tanks. He's got 40 barrel tanks in there, which is like bigger than the tanks at like Haymarket. They're like some really, these monster fucking tanks.
Yeah, that's a pretty big size for a new brewery just to be like, all right.
No, we're all in. Yeah, so I'm like, well, what are you doing? Are you just, you doing bottles and cans too? Like eventually I want to do cans, but right now it's just draft. And then they have, they've got four of these 40 barrel tanks in a window that you can see by the tap room. But then they've also got space downstairs for 20 more of these tanks that they want.
That's crazy to show up with 40 barrel tanks, not have bottles or cans, and then like I have to get my beer into these bars and restaurants. Like, I don't know. That's a lot of beer. That's probably gonna sit around. Like, not. I don't. You had their beer. I didn't have their beer. But me, just knowing like
what their beers were,
getting into a space like
it's a big commitment.
Yeah,
especially like.
If I own a bar, I'm like, I already have like my like main dudes I like, and these are stuff that sell, and then I keep like a couple that, you know, I change up. Yeah. Why would I pick you guys? You just came into town. You gotta prove me here, right? Yeah.
So they have four beers on. I had the Ingrained Dark Lager.
Okay.
It wasn't. When I think dark lager, I think like Frozen Pond at Frozen Pond at Motor Road, which is a straight up Schwartz beer. It's a black lager. And I was thinking, I thought it would be that, you know, but it wasn't that. It was more like, it was more of an amber color. It was just darker than what we're drinking now, this pale ale.
Okay, because that Naked Selfie is actually a lager too. So. Yeah.
So I thought it'd be darker. You know, I was expecting like, you know, big, roasty, you know, typical dark stuff. Oh, but it wasn't that at all.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't get to try the other beers. That's the only beer I tried.
So you can go there and drink.
It's open to the public.
Okay.
Yeah. And their space is great. It kind of looks like, my friend said it looked like a juice bar, which was kind of funny.
A juice bar?
Or it looks like, for me, it looks like, you know, if like Banana Republic opened a brewery. Yeah, it kind of looks like that. Yeah, it's kind of clean, simple, nothing really identifiable, just kind of a big open space where you can come bring food and eat with really big, massive windows. Right.
Okay.
Like,
kind of like so many of the brewery design like would open like I guess a industrial kind of feel.
Yeah, and well, no, this one's a little more polished. This was more like more retail-ish. And then like what am I trying to say? It just wasn't a lot of their personality on display. You're like, you walk in a Hopleaf and you know you're in a Belgian bar. You know, you walk in the local option or wherever. You know, you go to Rev, you know what they're about, you know. They got Bourbon County staves that are that hold up the lights at fucking Rev, right? Like, you know, because, you know, those guys used to work at Goose, you know. Like,
sure.
Everybody's doing, you know what I mean? And this place was just kind of wide open and almost kind of empty.
They spent all their money on tanks. They got too big of tanks and they're like, oh, crap. I didn't know how expensive those were.
I mean, but it seems like a kind of place, you know, hey, you know, you go back, throw back a few. It's a good place if you were, like, on a date or something like that. It would play well.
How close to other things is it?
It's not on the main strip with, like, because I would say the main strip is, like, you know, like, not the Whistler, but, like, the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And the Radler and then Emporium. You know, so further. That's closer to the square.
Yeah, Milwaukee, Logan, and then you got Logan and Eagle up a little farther.
Right. So I would say this is north of that stuff.
North of Logan.
North of Logan and Eagle. So this is past the theater.
Past the Intelligentsia.
Past the Intelligentsia. Past the Harding Tavern. It's like a block north of that. It's actually right at the Logan stop. Logan stop's massive. If you walk to the other end of the Logan stop and get off, it's just a block north of that.
Okay, so it's almost like where Rev's at. Almost kind of like the beginning of Logan on Milwaukee. It's towards the end of
that's
Logan on Milwaukee.
Correct. Yeah, it's like the bookend, like the other bookend to the strip. Yeah.
But it's on Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's like on Milwaukee at Diversey, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's right next to the Gap.
All right. Then you could just head down to Diversey and go to Rev Production Brewery, too, right?
Yeah, Belmont. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot happening in that neighborhood.
Nice. Okay. Man, would you go back again? Check out their stuff?
I would, because I only had the one beer, and it was okay, but I haven't tried them all, so that's not, you know, that's not to say I wouldn't like the IPA or the,
I like the name.
Hopewell,
yeah.
The design of the logo is pretty good. Yeah, I'd go back and give it another chance for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Do they have merch? I think I need some new brewery hats.
No, this place. You think I'm joking. This place is imagine this room we're in without anything except this desk. Okay. Right? Just the desk. Like, that's how it felt. Just bare minimum space.
Okay, yeah. All right. All right, man.
Either that or I was really wasted, but I'm pretty sure I would have noticed. Right.
Sure. Anything else?
I went to a couple other things, man.
Whoa,
dude! I don't know what's wrong with me, man. I was just out, man. I went down to Tribe's Ale House out in Makena. So David,
okay, that's David.
Yeah, David's spot, man.
Yeah.
Went out there to check him out. They've got the tap lister boards out there, which is pretty cool. I haven't seen those. I've seen those at Links. It's the digital tap board where they basically turn their TV into a tap board. Yeah, they had that, and then they're up to 8 of their own beers now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Was David there?
No, David wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyone who doesn't know who David is, David used to brew at Haymarket. He was kind of, I would say, like Pete's right-hand man.
You call David the head brewer.
Yeah. I would have think he would have almost got the keys to the production or the pub.
Yep.
As Pete was transitioning over to the production brewery in Michigan, but. He decided to go to Tribes.
Yeah, Tribes Ale House, which was already a killer. It was a killer ale house. I would say, even if it were in the city, it would be a really awesome beer bar. It was a great bar. And then, they decided to go into production. So he's making beer at their Mokina location. That's where the brewery is. And then the second location is just it's a brew pub.
Okay.
Yeah. Or actually, they don't make beer, so it's just a pub. Second location.
All right.
They had this love affair with Ballast Point. There were 4 Ballast Point beers on tap. I didn't understand that. I wanted to ask. They're actually doing a collaboration beer coming up with Coronado Brewing out in California.
Yeah,
they're calling it a Tribal Council IPA. That was cool. And he had 8 beers. I tried a few of them. I really liked them all. My Bloody Valentine was really good.
Oh, perfect for the probably the time of the week
all of the month. It was a red ale at 6.66%.
Okay.
It was great. Yeah, nice. It was good to get out there. Yeah.
Tribes, okay. Yeah. How long did it take you to get out there?
Like, what's the... Yeah, it was far. I was in the car. It was
far. It's like at least 30, 45 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking.
That's why I haven't gone.
It's out there.
All right. Anything else, or is that the extent of your brewery visits?
One more thing. I stopped at Bar Sienna. So I went to Little Goat, right? And, you know, across the street from Little Goat is this pub called Bar Sienna. And Bar Sienna is, they've only been there for 5 months. Apparently, it's part of the same crew that owns Bull & Bear in River North and Public House, which is across the street from House of Blues, right?
Okay.
This is their West Loop bar. It's called Bar Sienna. Oh, but, you know, I was just going there to pregame before the brew bus, and they have a Italian-style wheat ale on draft from Goose Island. Mm. It's their house beer.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm like, well, you got to give me this beer. I'm thinking it's just 312, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not at all. It's like super dark. The bartender didn't know what was in it exactly, but it was pretty solid. It was like an 8% wheat ale. And then, like, I want to know more about this beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's a...
You should tweet it.
I should tweet it. Ken. Yeah. So I was asking, I'm like, well... Who are you that you have a Goose Island beer?
Right, a unique Goose Island beer.
Right, and then he started breaking down the connections, and he's like, man, you know, when you consider all of our restaurants, like, we go through tons of beer. So, and that was their angle. So they actually went down to Fulton Wood and made this Italian-style wheat ale with them. Yeah. So just kind of went as a post-game to Goat. So, yeah, I want to know more about that, and that's a good idea. I'm going to tweet at him, see what's going on.
Yeah, we should get that story.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's it.
That's all the stuff you made it to. Yeah. Nice. Man, you said a pretty productive week. I'm jealous of everything you made it to. All right. Should we dive into this this coming week for everyone who's listening, things they should check out and beers that they should be drinking?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I think the first thing I came across on the calendar was Thursday.
Okay.
So Alarmist Brewing. This is Gary Gully's brewery up in... what's that neighborhood?
It's because it's got a weird name, man, and you never go up there.
Yeah, it's pretty far. It's over, like, Peterson Avenue.
Like right off the highway.
Yeah.
Hegwish? No, that's okay.
No. Oh, Maeve's going to be mad at me because we were just talking about this neighborhood. And would love what Gary Gully's doing up there.
People will probably listen to the show and be like, what the fuck's wrong with them? They're always bitching about how far everything is.
Yeah, that's everything so far. 45 minutes, hour.
How'd you get out there? Ah, fuck that place.
They don't even go to anything because it's too far. So on Thursday, Gary Gully and Alarmist, they're having their can debut. So they started canning their beers, tall boy cans.
Right on.
The Entrenched IPA is going to come out. It's going to be in, I think, stores around town, and you'll be able to get it at Bottles and Cans on Thursday. So Bottles and Cans is on Lincoln. I don't think I've ever been to Bottles
and Cans.
I've been
once. Okay. It's a great, everything's separated by region.
I've been to Cans before that shut down.
It was, where's Cans?
Cans was,
is there a place called Cans?
It was. They only served Cans. It was on Damon. It's where the Nike. It's where the Nike store is now.
What? Cans.
Okay, so Bottles and Cans.
Fucking Nike.
So you go there and get this canned beer for the first time.
Right on.
I think they're also having another event later on in the week at Emporium on Tuesday, on the 20th. Mm-hmm. So same thing, Entrenched Cans at Emporium. I'm sure Logan, because it's cans.
It's cans,
so
only at Logan. Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll make it to Bottles and Cans, but I may head over to Logan next week on the 20th and check it out. So
right on.
Gotta support Gully, man.
I like Gully.
Gulster.
I like Gulster. I like his beer. Done and done.
So I think there's another can coming out too, but this is kind of the first one we'll see around. Mm-hmm. I think they tweeted out or posted on their Facebook page a couple different cans that should be coming. So check that out.
Okay.
Anything else during the week, or?
Yeah, the Half Acre Beer Company, man. They're doing a couple of events. My guess is that they're brewing out of this new space because they're doing events. They're doing back-to-back events here. One is at Fishman's. Half Acre takes over the fish. And here we go again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So there are 16 drafts at Fishman's. This is 9 Half Acre beers here.
That's respectable. I'm gonna. It's not a tap takeover. It's an invasion.
I'm gonna throw this phone. Well, it does say and more. So by the time the event starts, there'll be more.
Okay.
I gotta get off that. Why does that bother me so much?
I don't know. Because it's not. You didn't take over all the taps. Yeah. This is an invasion.
Yeah.
It's I like invasion better.
It's an invasion. Double daisy cutter, which I really dig. There's a blood orange IPA apparently. And then all the usual suspects, including a collaboration with Upslope Brewing in Colorado called the Liche IPA.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I wonder why the collaboration beer with them. Like, ooh, are they going to go to Colorado?
You know, the Pipeworks guys, when I saw them at JBF, mentioned that they've signed on with, like, this specialty distributor where they're just going to, like, have beer in Portland, have beer in New York. Like, they're going to focus on certain markets outside of Chicago. Yeah. So it actually wouldn't surprise me at all if that happened.
Because you see these breweries, besides, like, McKellar or any of those, like, gypsy brewers doing collaborations. When there's collaboration with somebody, there's usually a reason behind it.
That's
it's
true.
Not like, hey, let me brew a beer with you. It's like, who are you?
Right. They brew beer with people that they know or, yeah, have some kind of relationship with.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Yeah, you see them with Floyd's all the time. Floyd's and Peace all the time, the Half-Acre guys. And then there's also an event. That's Thursday. There's also an event Friday out in the South Burbs in Tinley Park, the same place that
350 Brewery.
350's out there, a Hailstorm, and then Tribes. Tribes is in Tinley as well. Yeah, they're doing a Half-Acre Beer Night on February the 19th at 5 p.m. All eight of their draft lines will be occupied by Half-Acre. Okay. Yeah, and then Rod's going to be out there giving away swag and talking about beer. And there's going to be a food truck. So it looks like a lot of the same beers you can find at Fishman's the day before will also be on tap out in the burbs. And, you know, that place is really cool, man. I met them. They're a husband and wife duo. And he kind of modeled his space after, like, the Beer Temple. You know, he was inspired by that. And it's a fantastic shop. The Open Bottle.
We need to make it out there.
Yeah, we should go out there, man. We could record.
I know.
And then hit. All those breweries are, like, really close, like 350 and Hailstorm right there. It's all in the same town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. We got plan a Saturday or Sunday.
I'm down with that, man. Mm. Yeah. Okay. So that's all I got. For the weekend, that's all I got.
What?
Yeah.
I know that the Naperville Winterfest is coming up, so you should get tickets for that. That's on the 27th?
Yeah, that's on Saturday the 27th.
So you should get tickets for that. I always hear, like, awesome things. You usually have someone from Chicago Beer Geeks go out there, right?
That's true.
And take photos and, you know, drink beer in the cold.
True.
So grab tickets for that. I believe, did Polar Beer Fest happen?
Polar Beer Fest is the exact same day.
Same day.
At Rock Bottom, Chicago.
So grab tickets for that.
And if you're a stud, you hit them both.
What? I don't think you can do that.
No, I don't know.
That's impossible. Could you even pull that off?
I mean, let's see here.
The only person that could pull that off would be Maynard.
Yeah, Maynard's a madman. These are actually only 1 hour apart, so you can't hit them both.
Maynard and Valentine could hit that up, and they can do it.
Those two are trouble, man.
And go to Benihana's.
And then where the hell is there a Benihana's? I see these Benihana's photos. I'm like, man, I haven't been to Benihana in like fucking 10 years. Like, where's Benihana's?
I know there's one in like Naperville.
Is it really?
Yeah. You got to go to the suburbs for Benihana's.
Seriously, dude? I'd be down for some Benihana, man.
I ended up doing laser tag for my birthday, but I was like, I should go to Benihana's. Like, get everyone to go to Benihana's.
Hey, I'm down for some Benihana's, man. We can go after the show.
Well, that's awesome. So we usually like to talk about some beer news here.
Yes.
There's been a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
Just
there's a lot
locally and non-locally.
Yeah, true indeed.
Globally?
And globally. Locally and globally. Hey, one more thing, because we record next Tuesday, but Ballast Point's doing a beer dinner with Jerk Modern Jamaican Grill. So Jerk used to be just a food truck. Now they got their own space. Nice. Yeah, so they're doing four beers together, or actually doing five. Yeah, all of the, ghost pepper stuffed hush puppies is one of the dishes.
Okay, that sounds good.
So, that's Tuesday the 23rd. That's 9 p.m. That is that'll cost you $39.
Okay, very cool. All right, so what's been happening?
Yeah, man, let's talk about what's going on in these streets, Brad. Our guy Cletus Friedman. Is leaving Fountainhead.
Fountainhead.
Cletus is the executive chef at Fountainhead.
Was
the executive chef. He's leaving in March. They so he's got you got Fountainhead, you got Bar on Buena, and then you've got the new bar, the cider bar. It's called the Northman. Okay. He was a chef over all three. So Cletus isn't really he's not telling people where he's going yet, but he's going to explore other culinary options apparently.
Okay.
And good for him. The reason we bring it up, he's not just a chef. He's a Renaissance guy, man. He makes his own like sparkling water, cider, and then he's done like literally like 17 collaborations. And we'll just run down a few of these breweries, man. Dark Horse, Green Bush, Two Brothers, Lake Effect, Against the Grain, Pipeworks. You know, the list goes on. So
yeah.
He's actually like a really big collaborator for beers. And they're really making cool beers. It's not just like, hey, give me this base beer and I'll throw some fucking walnuts in it. No, they're like really coming up with cool stuff.
Sure, you know? Okay.
Not against anybody who puts walnuts in their beer. That's not a shot. But yeah, but he's leaving apparently. And he was doing, what did he do before?
It wasn't. I'm thinking Green Street Meats, but it wasn't Green Street.
City Provisions.
Yeah. Which the concept is great, but I think it was overpriced.
It was a little expensive because everything was like sourced locally, you know, and his costs were high. So
$15 sandwiches.
That's a tough sell.
Yeah,
that's a tough sell. And then you know this is kind of a surprise for me because like I was. You know, I was at the Fountainhead Market that they opened, and, you know, the Fountainhead Market kind of resembles what City Provisions was.
Uh-huh.
And this was a brand new concept that just opened at Fountainhead. So now he's launching this thing, and now it's...
Where's he going?
Yeah, it's going to stay, but then he's out.
Where's he going?
Oh, he's exploring another culinary adventure.
He's got
some of his sleeve.
He's got ADD going on here, man. Like, you have like a pretty sweet thing going there.
It wouldn't surprise me.
You got them to make your old store.
It was when it happened. It was the comeback of the year.
Yeah.
So here he is, like, man, I gotta close my. He's got a tattoo of City Provisions, like taking up his whole arm.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I gotta close my dream because you know we just can't fucking get people in, right? And then he goes and makes this awesome comeback of being like the chef at Fountainhead, and then they expanded to three other spots, and then he leaves.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a story behind it. We don't know just yet. So,
word wise, if you see another City Provisions concept, watch out because he might be leaving again.
Oh, man. You're right. where was I, man? Oh, all right. Yeah. So, good luck to Cletus and whatever he does.
Okay.
And another bit of news, Koval and McKellar are getting together for a collaboration whiskey.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. So McKellar's a gypsy brewer. We all know McKellar. So apparently, Koval, they have this this oat whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And then McKellar has the Beer Geek Breakfast, which is an oatmeal stout with fresh pressed, French coffee.
Uh-huh.
So this is inspired by those ideas. You know, just a product that they already have. They want to come together and do something together to celebrate those things.
Oh, neat. So, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Is that going to be out? Probably limited bottle. It'll probably be pretty small.
Yeah, super small run on that, I'm guessing. Goose Island Stout Fest is coming up in Clybourne. That's their answer to St. Patty's Day. This is going to be March 13th.
Right. St. Patrick's is on the 17th.
Yeah. And are they observing it? Which weekend is it observed? I don't know.
Chicago observes it every weekend.
Every weekend.
Every weekend in March is St. Patrick's Day in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. 500 tickets to Stout Fest sold out in 10 minutes.
What?
Yeah. So that's always a good time.
It is fun. I've been to Stout Fest a few times. I'm going to say I like Belgian Fest better.
Okay.
Because Stout Fest, although there's Fobab and you have a lot of stouts, Stoutfest is just stouts, and after like three or four, I need another beer. I just need something to break it up. And even at Fobab, you can go to a sour. You can go to
even they had the session. They had the session area this year.
You even have ciders, but
at
Stoutfest, it is all stouts,
and
it gets a little just tough.
It's very aggressive.
Yeah,
it's a good time, but yeah, it's in your face.
Huh.
It is in your face.
And the lines for, like, you know, the Goose Island, Bourbon County brand style stuff is just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, because Goose does bring the pain on these. And I like to see how Clybourne actually stands up to, you know, Goose. Like, Clybourne on its own, they make some pretty good beers. And, you know, those are two different companies for people who are wondering why we're making the distinction. Yeah. But that's always a good time.
But it's sold out.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay.
It's done. All 500 tickets. So good for them.
Nice.
There has been another merger in the craft beer world. This is on the East Coast. Looks like Victory Brewing out of Pennsylvania and Southern Tier out of upstate New York have decided to join forces.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so Southern Tier is actually one of my favorite non-local breweries. Their stuff's everywhere. It's always reasonably priced. It's always really good.
I think Bottom Lounge always has pumpkin on.
Yeah, they have pumpkin on like literally like 11 months a year. So they're creating a new venture called ABV, Artisanal Brewing Ventures. So the combined company is going to do, they did 250,000 barrels last year. They say they got the potential to do 800,000 barrels a year between the two of them.
Okay.
So the plan here is to consolidate the marketing, the sales, the distribution, and then just kind of join forces and, cut some costs, and continue to make good beer. They're going to operate as separate companies.
Okay. Who do you think was making better beer?
I don't get around to Victory much.
Man, their pills.
Is it good?
Really good.
I don't get their stuff a lot.
I think this is a win for Southern Tier. Uh-huh. I think Victory is making better beer.
Yeah, and then Victory's older, and I believe Victory's actually a little bit larger than they are, too.
Southern Tier was making those big, I want to say gimmicky beers.
Like Chocolat, Mocha. Yeah, those really big, overtly... like in your face stouts,
right?
Yeah, they do a lot of those.
But interesting. We'll have to see how this plays out.
Yeah, because it's a little bit different from like Firestone Walker and or Duval, because I think Duval just outright bought Firestone.
Yeah.
This is like more of a real merger.
This is like we're teaming up. We're sick of fighting.
Yeah, like we need to join forces. Like we love what we do, but how do we expand? Well, we can stay alive by cutting costs. Well, how do we do that? Oh, well, let's just join forces with somebody. You know,
it's either we try to push one of these other breweries out and take their market share, or we try to
Yeah. So you see this in there's a crew called the Utah Brewers Cooperative. There's a Wasatch and Squatters Brewing.
So you said they're going to operate separate, so there's still going to be Southern Tier beer and Victory beer?
Correct. So there'll be a parent company and those two breweries will be under the umbrella of the parent company, which is ABV.
Okay.
Yeah. So ABV, I guess, runs all the sales and marketing, and then they'll keep all their current brands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So
we don't see that too often.
No.
Other than the Utah thing, I don't know if that exists anywhere else in corporate. Huh. I mean, not in corporate, in craft beer. I mean, you see breweries like we talked about, you know, like Atlas and Slapshot, they share space, you know, and the El Syndicate, people share space. But
yeah, that's more of a, this rent is too damn high.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see how that turns out, man. Yeah, one more bit of news out of Boston. Apparently, there's a distributor in Boston that got their license suspended for 90 days because they were participating in pay to play. They were giving kickbacks to retail accounts, 12 in particular.
I saw this story on Facebook, but I didn't click on it. I was like, this seems like a deep read. I'm going to read this later.
But the wording is a little tricky because like it's a wholesaler. It's a distributor, but they're called the Craft Brewers Guild.
Okay.
So I thought, wait a second, how did Boston Craft Brewers Guild get to sell beer? But no, it's just called the Craft Brewers Guild. That's the name of the distributor. So apparently, man, in the last 5 years, allegedly, well, it's not allegedly because the feds are coming down on them.
Uh-huh.
Last 5 years, they've given over $120,000 in kickbacks. They're doing things like, hey, we'll give you $2,000 a year for a dedicated line. And this is pretty serious, man, because as it stands, they're on a 90-day probation, which means actually, they're suspended for 90 days, which means they can't sell beer from, like, March to June. So, you know, baseball's about to start.
This entire distributor can't sell
beer. They can't sell their beer. So this is the way I understand it is this, you know, you can break your deal with a distributor if they violate the law.
Okay.
So the way I understand it, these brands might be able to join another distributor.
This might be like, I need to sell my beer. I'm not sticking with these guys.
Yeah. It's affecting some pretty big brands. Sierra Nevada, Yingling, Chimay, Brooklyn Brewery, Lagunitas. They're all affected by this.
Okay. I could see Yingling and Lagunitas being like, we're out.
Yeah. They're being referred to by Forbes and the Boston Herald as a pervasive illegal enterprise.
Okay.
That's rough, man.
So I feel like in Chicago, we are pretty familiar with pay to play. because I know, you know, Tracy has spoke out about this from Metropolitan Brewing many a times, just against Anheuser-Busch tactics and, you know, having Budweiser on. So I guess it's not surprising. It's more surprising someone got caught.
Yeah, and you know, if you look, and this is actually a really good story on Forbes magazine. If you go, it says like, hey, you know, this all started from like, you know, Brewery X in the Boston area sent out a tweet about why they're not on tap more.
Okay.
And then this led to this investigation that lasted a year, and it led to a pretty prominent distributor getting their fucking license suspended.
That's not
for a whole season. 90 days, that's a long time.
That's a long time, yeah.
It's a long time. So I think they can cop to it, and then if they cop to it, the brands that they represent, because they broke the law, get to leave.
If they want.
If they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which I would leave. You have 90 days where the beer you make won't be sold.
Right.
So there's no reason not to leave.
I mean, especially with this stuff having a shelf life. Like, I don't know what the other variables are. Yeah. But, I mean, if you and I had, you know, a hot selling IPA and our distributor's over here fucking up, breaking the law, we're gonna try to get out.
Yeah. The only way that would work is if distributor's like, don't leave, we'll pay you not to make beer.
Yeah.
Like, we don't make beer for 90 days, like, just sell it at your tap room or your brew pub. Yeah. Like, make that amount, but don't make your crazy amount because we can't sell it. We'll pay you what we would have paid you.
Or if the departure, like, okay, you can leave, but you have to pay us X, you know, which is like, you know, a formula based on sales kind of thing.
Yeah. That happens sometimes.
That, I mean, like, if it were too much, if we didn't have that capital, then we'd have to stay.
But I don't think if they broke the law, you probably don't have that option. It's like,
that
contract is null and I can get out.
You might just get to leave.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how this turns out.
So we kind of know what happens here in Chicago. Or do you think it happens more often than we think it does?
I mean, it probably happens more than we care to admit. Yeah. Right? I mean, because you can kind of go into some bars, and we were talking about this a little bit in the pregame, like, hey, you know, this bar is killing it, and they have a fantastic list, and then they
have Bud Light on it.
Yeah, and also tell by how much swag they have from a particular brewery, if there may or may not, I don't know. You know, there may or may not be other relationships at play. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's also a weird thing. You have Boston, like, it's a sports town too, but Chicago is a sports town, so you go somewhere, it's like, oh yeah, we have Bud Light on, we have all this other stuff. We have Bud Light on because, you know, bros come in and they just want to, you know, crush some Bud Light.
Yeah.
They don't care, but
if you look at, if you know, because the feds are actually investigating, like, I think it's AB for their distribution tactics. And, you know, they've been accused of, like, you know, hey, just trying to sabotage brands that aren't, you know, related to Bud.
Yeah.
You know, so if you look at it from that standpoint, then you have to assume that not only is that going on, but this pay-to-play thing is probably prominent in most big cities.
Yeah.
You would think. Because craft beer, we're at a point where, you know, we're starting to cannibalize each other for tap lines, you know? Like, yeah, the base is growing. There's more craft beer drinkers. But at the bar down the road, you know, you got Lagunitas and Sierra Nevada, you know, duking it out. You know, you got the local guy, you know, duking it out with the regional guys, you know. Mm-hmm. You got Bell's wants that same tap handle that fucking everybody else does.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. And, like, having just the bottles back there, if you're like, yeah, we don't have Bud Light on, but we have it in bottles, it's like, that's a lot more storage space than like a couple kegs.
That's true. And we should probably be clear, like, we know that even though we're talking about these brands duking it out, it's really not, it's not the brands making these kinds of illicit activities. These are the distributors doing this shit, and the reps. Yeah,
them. Like, you know,
these are like managers that work at distributors, and these are like whoever's running the bar. They're the ones doing this. Right. The brewery's not saying, "Hey, go get me the stone handle."
Right.
The breweries aren't doing that,
especially because you may, as a rep or a salesperson, you may be like, "Hey, this is my corner bar. I want to have my beer that I distribute on. Like, I'm gonna do any way I can. Like, I'm gonna come in here all the time. I'm gonna give you this and." You become friends with them, so you may have more ins than someone else.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's messy.
Oh, man. Times are changing, man. Times are changing.
That's a rocky topic, so yeah.
Yeah.
Check out that article for sure. I think that probably does it for this episode.
Yeah.
So I want to mention, like, Good Beer Hunting just did an episode with Ken Hunnemeter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Check that out. I think it was episode 70, I want to say, of Good Beer Hunting.
Uh-huh.
It talks about Ken working at Goose and how he made it there and got to that job. So check that out for sure. Great episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, should we get out of here?
Out of beer, out of here.
Where can people find you when you're not recording, not drinking on Chicago Beer Pass?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Our website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube video. If you're watching the video, like, cheers. Thanks for checking that out. It's still just like, really just a feed of us. It's a security camera of us recording.
It's a security camera recording us do the show.
Making sure we have pants on.
You didn't tell me I had to wear pants.
Yeah, yet. Sorry. Yeah. New rules here now. Check that out. And we're posting a lot of stuff on our Facebook page. I know I saw some photos of you at all these places this weekend on there. So check that out. We're posting other events we come across. It's a quick way to RSVP to some of these events too. So head over there, / Chicago Beer Pass.
No, we'll post it to the we're done with the show. We'll post it to we'll post it to the Facebook page.
All right. Yeah. More stuff to come there, so check that out. Yeah. And that'll do it for this week's episode. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.